Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday morning, November 1st. Thank you for joining us today. We want to start off today with an opportunity to worship God, to hear from Him today, and just to reflect that, wow, it's almost over this year. 2020 has been a crazy year. Elections are just 2 days away. So I know that many of you are stressed right now. I want to give you some comfort today in the scriptures that we've chosen for our message. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. And I want to first open us with a word of prayer. I want to share with you the scripture passage. And then I want you to meditate on it as we sing and as we worship God. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning to worship you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. God, we love you and we want to hear from you today, Lord. God, we want to lift our voices to you. We want to be comforted by you. Lord, during this difficult year that we've experienced with COVID-19 really changing our lifestyle, God, we know that you are the rock and the foundation that we can trust, and that you will continue to build your church. And so today, Lord, we want to hear from you. We love you, and today we worship you with all of our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage is going to be one where many of you may have heard before, but I want you to hear it again. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Today, we're going to hear a message that Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church." As we worship God today, contemplate, ponder, think about those words that Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church." Pastor Dylan, will you lead us?
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. Good, all your ways are sure. in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. All other ground is sinking sand. All
Good morning again, and I hope you pondered that song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. If you're sitting out there today and you're not sure if you stand on that solid rock, you need to know that God loves you, and He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. I know that across our nation, many churches sometimes question, are they standing on the solid rock? Over the years, this church has questioned, are we standing on the solid rock? I heard a statistic, and I believe this was in the Baptist denomination, that 18 churches across the nation will close their doors every week. 18 churches every week. That's over 900 churches will close their doors every year. The question that I want you to think about is, who formed the church and who builds the church? That's what we're going to dig into today. Before we get started, I want to open with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, God, to hear your message. Before we read your scripture, your word says in Psalm 119, verse 18, open our eyes that we would see wonderful things in your law. God, speak to us today. Let us hold on to the truth that you have built this church. God, we love you, and we just want to lift this up to you right now. Speak to us with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture passage I read to you before we started worshiping God in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. I want to read it again, and I want to emphasize verse 18. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. That emphasis I want to emphasize on verse 18. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus is declaring that Simon, son of Jonah, he has called him Peter in the past, but here he declares with an emphasis that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Many theologians will argue about what Jesus actually meant. Did he mean that Peter would build the church? Peter's name means stone or pebble. And so they thought, well, maybe he's referring to Peter because he proclaimed, and Peter will lead the church. And yet, others will argue that it's on Jesus, the word Jesus, that we will build our church. And others will even say, no, it's on the individuals that we will build the church. Well, let's break down the scripture passages, and let's get to the point of where Jesus was at, who he was talking to, and how he came about that Peter says that you are the Messiah. Our first verse in 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say the Son of Man is? First, I want you to know that they are in Caesarea Philippi, which is about 120 miles north of Jerusalem. It's north of the Sea of Galilee, and this is a region that has been heavily influenced by the Greek and Roman cultures. Its pagan idols are everywhere, and there are temples all around, different idols of worship. This is a non-Jewish area, and no Galileans are in the audience. He speaks to his disciples and says, Who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, keep in mind, they're outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus says, Who do people say the Son of Man is? I mean, many people have heard it. And yet, not many would have known who Jesus was. Jesus, in front of his disciples, had the opportunity to go through Samaria at one point. And he must have sent them off for food because he's by himself at this well and a woman appears. And the woman says in John chapter 4, verse 19, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." Then she says, "I know the Messiah is coming soon." And Jesus says, "I who speak to you am he." The disciples would have thought, well, maybe some people are going to think he's a prophet. I don't know. Some people may say that he's maybe John the Baptist. Others would just say that he's just a man who knows a lot. John the Baptist even asked Jesus. He sent a message in Matthew chapter 11, verse 3. He says, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we be expecting someone else? Are you the Messiah, or should we be expecting someone else?" The disciples, after walking with Jesus for 3 years, they know who he is. But Simon Peter chimes in. He says, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." John the Baptist was modern day. He preached on repentance. And if you remember the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, where the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah to share that they're going to have, that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby. We see the angel of the Lord saying, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So John the Baptist was to prepare the way for the Lord, to prepare the way for the Messiah. And some people were saying that, well, maybe that's who they think Jesus is. Elijah was sent by God to confront, not comfort, the Israelites. He restored a dead child to his mother, and he had the showdown with 450 priests of Baal. And so, is he Elijah? Well, we see in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Did you catch that in Malachi he says, "I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great day of the Lord"? And we see the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah that you will come in the power of Elijah and you will turn the hearts of parents to their children. So is it Elijah who is coming now as John the Baptist? Or maybe they say you could be Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet who prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. The disciples are really answering the question of the day. Who are you, Jesus? Today, we would probably say, and many, if you go out on the streets today and ask who was Jesus, you'll get responses like this. He was a good man, a teacher, a prophet, and some will claim he was a liar. But here's what Peter responded to. What about you, Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Notice those two profound statements. First, he says, You are the Messiah. You're the Christ. We read in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. That's the description of the Messiah. And Peter says, You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Now, Jesus directs directly at, we call Peter. The author here says Peter. Matthew says, Peter's talking, but he addressed him by his given name, Simon. Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father. I want you to catch this. By my Father. My Father has revealed this to you. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus says that God revealed this to Simon, son of Jonah. And he says, I tell you that you are Peter. The name Peter means rock or stone. And so we see Jesus saying that my Father in heaven revealed this to you, and you are Peter. You are the stone, or you are the rock. But then he says, and on this rock, the word here is Petra, not Petros. Petros was the word he gave to Peter, meaning rock, meaning stone or pebble. But he says, and on this rock, on this Petra, meaning a large rock. If you'll see the image behind me, I think of a large rock, the bedrock that will really hold a foundation together. Jesus says, You are a little stone, but on this big stone, I will build my church. Old Testament scripture references God as the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. In Psalm 18, verse 2, the psalmist says, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In Psalm 62, He is only my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, I shall not be shaken. In Psalm 31, verse 3, we see the psalmist say, Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Jesus says, on this rock, not on Peter. He says, Peter, you're this little stone. But he says, on this rock, I will build my church. The message that I am the Messiah was given to you by God, and God is the foundation. And that the fact that God has revealed that I am the Messiah is the rock that I will build my church. Psalm 118, verse 22 through 24 says, The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. So the psalmist said, The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures, The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The stone that the Israelites rejected, the stone, that rock, the Messiah that they rejected has become the cornerstone. Listen to how we read in Isaiah. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, Isaiah 28, verse 16. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. And so we see now that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, is the foundation, is the rock that the church will be built on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verses 10 and 11, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, I want you to get this imagery of what stones are. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God, the precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter says that Jesus is the living stone. If you remember, he was crucified. He was buried. But then he rose from the dead. He is the living stone. And when we believe in him as Lord and Savior, we become living stones built on that foundation. And so point number one is that Jesus is the foundation of the church. He is the rock. And point number two, Jesus says, I will build my church. He says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus declares that I will build my church. Most theologians say that the reference here is the church global, that through believers in Jesus Christ, that the foundation is laid. The foundation is Jesus as the Savior of the world. But who formed Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church? Some of you will say, well, it was a merger of two churches, two small churches that merged together, Seder's Baptist Church and Gregory Memorial Baptist Church. Well, who led the church? Some of you, only a handful, can tell me the names of the pastors that were here at Chestnut Ridge. 10 of them before me. Who's going to lead the church, Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church, tomorrow? The answer is Jesus Christ. There's no other answer for how the church was formed. There's no other answer of who leads this church. It's not Pastor Don. It's Jesus. This is His church. We are His people. And He said, on this rock I will build My church. Emphasis on, I will build My church. He says, hell has no power over the church. And who is the church? It's not this building. It's the believers in Jesus. We're called Christians. Sometimes I've seen that word used for anyone with a faith. Christians are those that are Christ-like, that believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that have surrendered their life to Him. Jesus says, I will build My church. He uses the word ecclesia. It's the first time used in the New Testament. First time used at all. Jesus says the word ecclesia, meaning a called out assembly. An assembly, a body of believers that are called out. He says they're My church. This is opposed to the word ecclesia that was used as a assembly to oversee a city. Jesus says, I'm calling them out. Jesus would be the head of the church. He says, they're My people, My church, and I will build them. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And in Colossians 1, verses 18 through 20, we read, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Him, through His blood shed on the cross. As a body of believers, believing that Jesus died on that cross, that He was buried and that He rose again, we now become a body of believers. We become the little stones that are built on the rock, the big stone. That's known as the church. Jesus is building His church. When Jesus told us that we are to be His church, that He is building it, if you recall my sermon from last week, Jesus told us He prayed for those who would believe, those who will become part of the church. He prayed that we would have unity and that we would have love. Our passage from last week was John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I want to read to you that prayer again as Jesus prayed it. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as You are in Me and I in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am, and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You love Me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known, in order that the love You have for Me may be in them, and that I Myself may be in them. As the church, we are to follow Jesus by loving God and loving others. We're to be unified in everything we do. I want to give you some encouragement that Scripture gives to us before I give you some application to Jesus saying that On this rock I will build my church. You need to know two things. That on this rock was the Word of God. That God said that Jesus is the Messiah. That He is the Christ. That He is the atonement for our sins. And that it is Jesus that is building this church. And He builds the church individually, one at a time. Today, there may be someone out there right now that is sitting there listening to this message that says, I'm not one of the living stones. I'm dead. If I die right now, I have no life. I'll spend eternity in hell. And if you hear that message, you need to pray that Jesus would save you, that you would become a living stone. Here's some words of encouragement that when Jesus builds His church, when He opens the doors to this building and says, this is the place where my church will worship, listen to Revelation 3, verses 7 through 8. What He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Did you catch that? The Lord knows that we have little strength. Our church is small in number. Many of our older congregation members are not able to go out door to door and knock and hand out our DVDs. But Jesus says, I know that you have little strength, but you have kept my word and have not denied my name, and I have put before you an open door. And what He opens, no one can shut. And so the first bit of encouragement is that Jesus is building this church. And it is Jesus that has opened the door. And for many of you that have not heard the latest testimony of how Jesus has opened the door for us to get out into this community, we received 15,300 DVDs of the Jesus movie, 15,300 gospel tracks, and 15,300 plastic door hangers to stuff the DVD and the gospel track for us to give to every home in our zip code. If this is the first time you're hearing this, you're probably saying, wow, that's amazing that God would open that door, but He has. Because our faithful have been praying, and God answered that prayer. Second, if we put our house on a strong foundation, we will never be blown away. Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Friends, today, you need to know that Jesus is the foundation. He is the rock. And it is Jesus who will build His church. And Jesus says, when I build my church, I want unity and I want love from among my people. So how do we strengthen our church? If Jesus is building us, what are things that we can do to strengthen ourselves and to serve our community? First, we need to follow Jesus and never give up. And second, we need to fight the good fight. We need to be committed to serving God and not be afraid to go out and share the gospel message. A few steps that we can take to strengthen our walk. And I'm going to use the word faithfully. Faithfully means that you will do it through thick and thin, through the difficult times of life and the good times of life, that you will faithfully pray, faithfully read God's word, you will faithfully serve, and you will faithfully share the love of Christ with others. In order to do this, you need to humble yourself, and you need to make sure that Jesus is the head, that He is the foundation that we're standing on. And finally, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will set your path straight." So friends, today, as you've heard the message that Jesus is building His church, are you one of His stones? To be a living stone means that you believe in the cornerstone, that you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you're listening out there at home and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you're not one of the living stones. You see, you only have two choices. You either believe in Jesus and have eternal life, or you don't. If you do not believe, you will spend eternity far away from God with turmoil and grief. Today, make a decision to believe in the living stone, the cornerstone. And when you do, your life will be changed forever. Let's pray. Father, we come before You right now. God, just thanking You for the message today that Jesus said that He is the foundation that He's the Messiah that was revealed by God, and that He will build His church. God, I pray right now today that the church continues construction, that Jesus will continue to call out and lives would be changed. Right now, I pray, God, that one would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would cry out right now, "Lord, save me." And Father, that Your church continues to grow. Lord, I thank You for the message today. I thank You for what You're doing in the life of Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church, how You have opened doors for us, and how You continue to strengthen us. And God, I just thank You for what You're doing in my life, the life of our family here, and God, in the life of our community. We look forward to being able to share the gospel message to over 15,000 in our zip code. Thank You, Father, for Your message today. We love You, Lord. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've made a decision, that's the most exciting thing you can do. You have become part of the foundation of the church. If you're the newest member of our church right now, the Church Global, we would love to invite you to be a part of our church, that you would come and want to be a part. We'd love to have you come, stop by, give me a call at the office if you can, and we will try and connect you into some kind of a Bible study to start to gain God's wisdom and to be accountable. And we'll definitely give you opportunities to serve. Whatever your decision is today, let today be the day that you make that decision. And now during our time of commitment, I'm going to ask Pastor Dylan to lead us in a time where we can say, "Lord, we love You, and we affirm that You are the rock and that You will build Your church and that we'll follow." Dylan, will you lead us?
Soul, are You weary and troubled? No light in the darkness You see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He is the rock. He's the foundation. And he is building his church. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to next week, another opportunity to come together. Mark on your calendars, November 22nd. 3 weeks from today, we will be celebrating here at the church for just a time of worship, a time of reflecting, the anniversary of Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church. 25 years since we've opened these doors and worshiped together as a congregation. And Jesus has still kept the door open. Mark your calendars. We'll be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We'll probably have a little bit of an extended service, but it's a time for us to really reflect and see what God is doing in the life of Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We love you. Again, if you've made a decision for Jesus, we're excited. Praise God. Give us a call. Let us know that you have become part of the church. And until next week, I just want to say we love you, take care, and God bless.